From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
The Democrats don't like being called an angry mob, but really, that's what they've become. They've gone so far left, they can't even believe that they're over there. They don't know what's going on. When you listen to Eric Holder talking about kicking,
when they go low, we kick.
Or Hillary Clinton saying what she said, which was so horrible.
You cannot be civil.
They just don't see it. Maxine Waters constantly, day in and day out, ranting and raving.
And you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome.
They're losing it, and they shouldn't be. We should be a unified country. It'll happen someday.
That's President Trump. He recently tweeted that video today and how accurate it is. Happy Friday, Shabbat Shalom. This is Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. And you know, that call of the angry mob, you know, they deny it, but we're seeing over and over and over again how true it is. A little later in the show, we're actually going to talk with an owner of a popular restaurant in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. He's been facing death threats and accusations of being a Nazi. You ready for this? You ready for this? After he hosted a breakfast for Representative Marsha Blackburn's campaign. Getting death threats. We're going to talk with the restaurant owner, Tom Courtney. And he says he would have gladly rented his restaurant to the Democratic Party as well. He's a business guy. You're not going to want to miss that. And Secretary Steve Mnuchin ended speculation yesterday morning when he announced he will indeed skip the Future Investment Initiative Summit in Saudi Arabia. Continues to have lots of intrigue in regard to the journalist Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance. Here's my question. Where was the concern of the tragedy of September 11th, 2012 at the U.S. consulate in Benghazi that resulted in the deaths of Christopher Stevens and three other Americans? I'm going to talk about that later in the show as well. And Congress just recently fully funded the FDA. The Federal Drug Administration recently announced how it will be able to get prescription costs lower for consumers. In just a moment, we'll talk with Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma, one of the good guys in Congress. And thousands of migrants are about to arrive in Mexico's doorstep, and U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is meeting with officials in Mexico's capital to discuss the situation. We'll talk with Frank Gaffney, founder, president, and CEO of the Center of Security Policy. He'll join us later to discuss. All of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me as well at R. Jones Reports. Well, as I said, the Federal Drug Administration is now fully funded. Congress greatly aided in this, which the president has talked about recently, by giving the FDA all the funding it needs to break through the red tape, so to speak. With us now is Congressman Steve Russell. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Oklahoma, and he serves on the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform, the House Armed Services Committee, and he's the new chairman of the Subcommittee on National Security. Congressman Russell, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Russ. Appreciate it.
You know, having been a veteran, I just wanted to tell you, guess what I get to do in about an hour?
I have no idea.
I get to put on my uniform. It's drill weekend in the Mississippi State Guard, first lieutenant. Get to go do drill duty this weekend.
No, so that, I know you, that'll be fun. I was just down at Oxford, Mississippi, there at Ole Miss, talking to a lot of the students in their new intel department, and then also ROTC cadets there. It was great to see them.
When were you, this is where I live. When were you here?
I was there. Let's see. I left yesterday. I was there for a couple of days.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, hotty-totty and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, on to business. First, tell us about your new role as chairman of the Subcommittee on National Security. What's that going to entail?
Well, the National Security Subcommittee actually entails oversight of not just our Department of Defense type of related issues and foreign affairs, but it also looks at Homeland Security. It looks at a lot of the intelligence things that we do. It's very broad, but then again, so is the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. And this is important to have that kind of broad structure because it allows us to travel a number of places or examine a number of things, both foreign and domestic.
Would your committee have any interest in, of course, the journalist in Saudi Arabia? Would it, for example, and just trying to give our listeners an idea of some of the things you might tackle, would that be in that
wheelhouse? Well, there are always interest in doing investigations and examining different things. However, in this case, with the journalist, I think it's important, since we have Secretary Pompeo on the ground, he has been talking to people. They are looking at the facts. We need to trust our institutions to allow them to see what they're collecting. Obviously, we have both the legislative and executive branches, as well as our press and others that are very interested in this. So we don't really see any division on it, but I think it's important that we gather the facts that are out there. So we will see what they examine. But an example of how the committee can interrelate, you may recall last October when we had the ambush of four of our special forces soldiers in Niger, and it was horrible, but there was a lot of speculation on what happened. I actually went out and got on the ground and spent time with a SEAL team and two special forces teams, got out in some very remote places in Niger and northern Cameroon, and just got out and looked at the ground truth. And in my oversight capacity, that is good. I was able to come back and enlighten my colleagues on the findings and a lot of things that I saw. And then the military obviously welcomed me because of my background. And we got to the facts, and we didn't make stupid decisions.
Right. You were able to give a firsthand report.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, tell us about this most recent initiative about the FDA recently announcing how it will be able to get prescription costs lower for consumers. Give us the oversight of that.
Well, one exciting thing about what's been done, we've accomplished so much this past year, Russ, that people really don't see it. It doesn't get reported. But one of the things that we passed was the Prescription Drug User Fee Act, and that actually allowed the FDA to have the authority and funding to look at what they call a harmonization process between the Food and Drug Administration and, say, Canada's regulatory agency or the European Medicines Agency. A lot of times people have drugs that are similar or maybe even the same, but because of the way the regulations are, they can't, what the FDA calls, harmonize them. And so they wanted this additional authority to be able to do this, and we agreed so we can drive generic drugs down. And if there's something good that is out there and it meets a uniform standard, let's create the competition. Let's get it there so that we can have cheaper drugs available in the United States, whether it's by our own manufacturers or by those from our trusted allies.
And that's important to those that are listening because folks are always trying to find ways to save money and medical costs and whatnot that people face. So that's a big victory, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, it's really hard for most Americans to grasp. And I've been hearing the last several months just back in Oklahoma. It's hard for people to justify that some pill costs $400 or, a bottle of pills is thousands. And that's really hard for them to wrap their mind around, and rightfully so. Now, we understand the research and a lot of the things that go behind that, but from the federal government perspective, a lot of times that research is also accompanied with federal aid and federal dollars to help that research. And so there is a common interest for all of the American people through the consent being governed by us. That we allow those resources and investments to companies in the past to also be available for all Americans. And this is just a good policy way that we can empower an agency to get things done. And I think you will begin to see more competition in at least the generic drugs and then also cooperating with the European Medicines Agency and Canada as well.
Right. And that certainly falls in line with your ongoing work against government
Absolutely.
Abuse and fraud and waste, doesn't it, in H.R. 4917?
Mm-hmm. We waste so much on, you know, and we're willing to write these checks. Well, okay, let's give money to do this, research that. But then we have a real opportunity to help. And, you know, of course, people are going to have their own take on it and their special interest with these pharmaceutical companies or whatever. But there's got to be some practicality. I think most Americans understand what is fair. They have a sense of fairness, and they don't think that it is being unfair to allow competition or harmonization with other countries.
Now, Congressman, I understand that you recently spoke at the 2018 annual meeting of the Oklahoma Oil and Gas Association. I didn't realize this, but that's the oldest trade organization in the U.S. What did you get from them while you were with those folks? How are they feeling about the economy and what they're seeing? Because that's a pretty important area.
Well, they're very excited about the direction, once again, because of good policies that we've passed here in the last couple of years. We've ended the ban on the export of petroleum and natural gas. This is hugely important to our economy. We see the United States now as the largest petroleum producer in the world. We see the export of natural gas at its height. It's not been like this since 1970. There's just a booming opportunity for us to help other people in other parts of the world get affordable energy without going through pirate-infested oceans or seas or you know, whatever to get to terrorist-infested countries to get the energy supply. And so we need to promote these types of policies. And the other thing, you know, and a point I wanted to make to them is just encourage them. 10 million Americans work directly in the oil and gas industry. 20 million Americans contribute to it or are supported by it. That's 30 million American jobs that are hooked to oil and gas. You cannot remove that from America without absolutely permanently crippling America. And then just day to day, you know, I'm talking on a cell phone right now that contains rubber and plastic. I drove on a road to the office that has asphalt with rubber tires and gas in my tank. We drink water out of plastic bottles. We take medicines that are made from petroleum products. So much of our life is there. I had a hot shower because natural gas heated the water. We have hot food for the same reason. We cannot castigate this industry and make it sound like it's just some sludge bubbling from the ground and it doesn't affect our lives. It is our life. And do we want people to have suffering globally because they don't have electricity and gasified electric power plants that we could help provide that natural gas to? We have to really wake up and look at the impact that petroleum has and not just look at it in a very myopic way, as so many do.
Well, Congressman Steve Russell, very insightful. We're up against the wall here. Thank you so much. You have a blessed weekend, and we appreciate your work on the
Hill. Thank you, Russ. No, I appreciate what y'all do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma represents the 5th Congressional District. He's always a wealth of information. Well, coming up next, thousands of Honduran migrants are traveling through Guatemala and hundreds more are traveling through El Salvador en route to Guatemala, ultimately trying to get to the U.S. border. Well, what's it all mean? We'll talk with Frank Gaffney of the Center for Security Policy in just a moment. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Rush Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's Friday. Hear the whistle blowing. We'll be right back.
Are you interested in helping our nation move toward a brighter future? Join the millions who are gathering to pray, vote, and stand for our country, and hear from some of America's most influential Christian political leaders about what we can do to help move our country in the right direction. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. On Sunday, November 4th, tune in at 4 p.m. Mountain Time to hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, Kirsten Hawkins, and others who will be broadcasting from Karis Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. To host the event via webcast with your friends, watch it at TheEvent2018.com. Again, visit theevent2018.com for more information and to tune in to the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann on FRC's D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit on March the 28th through the 31st. With the Trump Hotel as home base, your experience will include private dinners at the Museum of the Bible and on Capitol Hill, the monuments, briefings from national leaders, and pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us through America's past, present, and future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
That the challenge related to securing our southern border is also a challenge for American sovereignty. We've got to fix U.S. laws in order to handle this properly as well. That is an American burden, a uniquely American burden. And as President Trump has said, it's something that we need to address inside of our country to make sure that we do this well.
Well, that was Secretary of State Mike Pompeo talking about the caravan. Honduran migrants are trekking in a caravan towards Mexico's southern border. And they say they're heading for the United States, fleeing violence and searching for economic opportunity. They plan to cross Mexico's border in the coming days and then continue north to the United States. Well, with us now is Frank Gaffney, founder, president, and CEO. I don't think we haven't gotten a hold of him quite yet. We just played that segment about immigrants and crossing across the border. And these Mexican authorities have agreed to grant humanitarian and asylum visas to a caravan of 3,000 Honduran migrants massing at the country's southern border. But the authorities also appear to be breaking up the group into smaller pieces. Now, this move ensures the migrants can enter Mexico legally until their cases are resolved, which normally takes, you know, a few months. Now, if their cases are approved, they will be allowed to stay in Mexico permanently. Now, this is part of this argument is, you know, that the United States is not sensitive to folks that are trying to make another life. You know, I have traveled all over the world. I have traveled to all throughout Central America. I've traveled through the Middle East. And, you know, I understand the plight of those that are wanting a better life. But I also appreciate those that have come to the United States legally. They have come here the proper way, and they've gone through the necessary processes to work here, to be a part of our communities, and to be a part of what it means to make America America. And in these recent days, Mexican authorities have made a point of showing they were stepping up security near the country's southern border now. And Mexican federal police released a video of officers arriving in the border state of Chiapas. And some of these folks were toting riot gear. You know, will they stop? Will these policies of President Trump and his call for a strong border and calling for possible sanctions and removing aid from these South American countries, will they make a difference? Well, apparently it seems to be motivating at least the Mexican authorities to do something about these folks that are traveling through their nation. And the Mexican authorities have also said they're asking for help from the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees to process migrants seeking refugee status at the country's southern border. Now, if Trump pulls out the trade deal or he closes the border, there would be major economic implications for both of these countries. We need to keep an eye on this. We need to keep an eye on this big time, bigly, as President Trump would say. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Courtney's Restaurant and Catering recently rented his facility to U.S. Senate candidate Representative Marsha Blackburn this past Saturday. And since that time, he has experienced strong social media backlash and death threats. Let's bring on now Courtney's Restaurant owner, Tom Courtney. Tom, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, hey, Tom, it sounds like you got an extra double helping, 10 extra sides of gravy on this deal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We did. We most certainly did. And it's been quite the ride. I tell you what, we're just out to make a buck, you know, and that's what we do. We're trying to make a living, and we had a very successful visit with Ms. Blackburn and John Rose, and very, very kind people, and they got elbow to elbow with us and actually worked with us, not for photo opportunities, but to actually do it. They took the time out and talked to my staff and answered some questions that fielded from them. And really won them over. The only pictures that were available, in fact, were the ones that we took with our cameras. And none of the pictures that have been on the media are from anywhere but our own. So it wasn't about photo opportunities. We had 170 people from my little operation. That's a good breakfast. That's a nice day, you know. And that was, you know, we're proud of it.
Apparently hundreds of posters on social media said that they were going to boycott your restaurant because of this event. And you know, you're a business owner. I would imagine you would have rented your space to just about anybody there, Democrats or whomever, right?
Yes, sir. I even stated that the first person to reach out to me. I told him, I said, so Bill Bredesen could have called, you know, we would have rented it to them. I mean, it, you know, they're bringing in 170 people. It's dollars. And that's what it's about, dollars and cents. We're trying to be fair to everybody. You know, we have our own personal beliefs, granted, but it's a business. Like you said, it's what we're about. And we really appreciate, you know, people realizing that. But like you've also pointed out, it most certainly wasn't that way. We had the boycott had attitude, and we were, you know, the poisoning of people. Then we had, I'm a Nazi sympathizer, should be wiped off the map. I'm a drug dealer, drug pusher, because I support Marsha Blackburn. That's ridiculous. That lady is she struck us as a very, very kind person, and she won us over. That's for sure. Well, so did Mr. Rose.
Well, Tom, would you hold on? And we just want to make our listeners clear. We don't endorse candidates here on Washington Watch.
Sure.
And we're talking with Tom Courtney here. Would you hold on just a minute? And we're going to take a break and come back. I'd like to ask you a few more questions.
Certainly.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And we're talking with Tom Courtney. He's the owner of Courtney's Restaurant and Catering. Recently rented a facility in got death threats because it was the wrong group, I guess. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
It's Friday. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, producer of this very show, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Always a pleasure to be here with you. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. All of this great content can be found there. It's downloadable. You can go listen if you got busy today, didn't get to hear the program. And, of course, we always like to hear from you. 866-372-7234. You can call and leave comments. We like to hear, get your feedback. Or if you've got a news tip for us that you think we need to get on, that's 866-372-7234. Well, we're talking with Tom Courtney. He's the restaurant owner of Courtney's Restaurant in St. Juliet, Tennessee. They recently hosted a Republican event. And, Tom, you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
As we've been talking about, are you just surprised at the incivility that we're seeing in our time? I've been around politics for most of my life, unfortunately, you are not the only person that I have heard about this. I've got a dear friend that's getting attacked right now just because of his political views, and you sure went through it there, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, we did. And yes, sir, I am shocked about the incivility. We live in an awesome community in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. It's one of the best communities in the world. And a lot of great people there, no doubt about it. And we're all about serving everybody, like I said earlier, and being fair. And to have something like that happen, it's just mind-blowing. I mean, really and truly, we would have served anybody, and that's what we're about. And we're trying to do the right thing and across the board, and trying to stay neutral as much as we can. We're business operators. That's, you know, all that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make money. And that particular day, we had a very successful day. And then some of the employees, they're minors, in fact, had gotten online and was wondering what the commotion was about and saw it. One of them was attacked. Even after she declared herself a 17-year-old, they were still attacking her.
What?
You know, telling her not to work there. It was a dangerous place, and just a bunch of crazy stuff.
Tom, you know, you're in the food hospitality business, and you
yes,
know,
sir.
All kinds of stripes, you know, all kinds of stripes of people in your business. Did it open any eyes for any folks? Have you been able to talk to any of these young, impressionable minds about actually what that was all about?
You know, honestly, yes. And, you know, what was really great is even members of the community that were realizing the social media backlash on those people, on the miners, they were chiming in the same sentiment I was expressing. No, this is when you want to vote. This is why you didn't vote, you know, and really kind of defending the process, because this is very unusual. You know, it's definitely, it's just so very unusual. And like I said, we're just open arms to everybody. I mean, we hold every kind of fundraiser, every kind of political function, rally, any kind of civic organization meets at my restaurant. And we're very proud of this. We're proud to have those kind of people and those functions there. And they're from everyone, every walk of life, every ethnicity, every religious cause. You know, we have Bible studies at the restaurant, you know, twice a week. Mm. And that's the type of place we are. And we're strong in Christ. I won't deny that. It is definitely it's just shocking. It really is. It's just shocking because we treat people fairly. We really do.
And, you know, I think every community probably has a place like yours. I've never been there, but I know I've got one where, you know, it's where folks go, and there's Bible studies, like you say, that are there. There's men's groups that meet.
Yes, sir.
There's political groups that have their weekly meeting at the place, and they're there every week.
Sir.
And they have all kinds of different worldviews, don't they?
Yes, sir, they do. Absolutely.
Well, what's happening now?
Anybody.
is the dust settling at all?
Well, it is and it isn't. For the most part, we've had an outpouring of love and support from so many, and even across party lines. It isn't all just Republicans and conservatives. It's people from both sides calling us and wanting us to be sure that it's the individual, not what they vote for, not what they're represented by. This is what they are, but it's sad because unfortunately it only seems to be coming from one direction. But there are those that have reached out, you know, saying, "Hey, look, you know, they know me personally." Some of them, and were like, are appalled at what happened. And it's basically we're seeing it's starting to drop a little bit, but the social media is still continuing. It's still going on. The banner's still going on back and forth. For the most part, we're being overwhelmed with love, and that to me is just tremendous. I can't begin to tell you the happiness and joy it brings, especially to my staff and my partners who I answer for. You know, I answer to. Those are my concern. Those people, my own family, is my concern, and the families that are part of the staff. You know, they're all we're all in it together, and the groups that support us there, Courtney's, they're tremendous people. So we're so grateful to be a part of Mount Juliet.
Well, Tom, Courtney, we're out of time. Thank you so much. God bless you. And if you're in North Mount Juliet, go to Courtney's, okay? Thank you, Tom, and God bless you. Thanks for coming on.
God bless you. Thank you. God bless.
Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Are you seeing this kind of thing in your community? Give us a call. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Are you ready to vote? Which candidates are actually speaking up for you and your values? Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be a part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. You can be a part of the solution and make your voice heard by pledging to pray, vote, and stand for your values. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our Values Bus to meet values voters like you this fall. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and help to inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for our tour dates, voter guides, and so much more. Be a part of the movement. pledge to pray, vote, and stand for your values. Again, go to valuesbustour.com and be a part of the movement.
Tony Perkins here, President of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
On Sunday, November 4th, join millions of Americans who are pledging to pray, vote, and stand for our nation. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. Hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, and others broadcasting from Caris Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. Go to theevent2018.com for more information and to tune into the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
Round in third, heading towards home. It's Friday. The whistle's blowing. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. So happy to be here with you. You're listening to Washington Watch. You know, just listen to some of these headlines. I mean, this is what we're in for. High school football players pray before game after pastor is barred from praying with them. Facebook blocks ads for movie about abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell. I mean, a bronze medal cyclist labeled transphobic for not wanting biological men in a women's race. Tried calling her today. Yeah, she came in third place from Houston. She's a hand surgeon and a professional cyclist. And a transgender male, won the race. And the left was outraged that she had a problem with that. A 9-year-old boy falsely accused of sexual assault. I mean, this is the place in which we live right now. And God bless Tom Courtney, St. Juliet, Tennessee. You know, glad he had their wherewithal to come on and talk with us and just to share his story. Let's go to Dallas and talk with Carol. Hi, Dallas. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Russ. How are you?
Well, I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, we are waterlogged.
I heard that. You've had a ton of rain and you're floating, huh?
Pretty much, but we're a lot better off than around Marble Falls and Llano and those areas.
Yeah, the Panhandle, you know, right. Well, what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to comment. I work for a nonprofit, and for the most part, we have a lot of people in the organization who are very conservative. But we're finding we've got some younger people who have recently become employees, and you do not express conservative views. I mean, they will just go off on you.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a surprise, and I've just kind of learned, don't say anything around these people. But and the other thing was, I have a screenshot on my phone. I was notified that one of my prescriptions was ready, and it's an inhaler that I have to use every day. The price without insurance was $1,184.04.
Goodness sakes.
I have a coupon that I was able to get from the manufacturer's website, so it covers my $50 copay. But what do people with no insurance do?
Right.
And that's just for one.
And you know, that's what Congressman Steve Russell was talking about with the FDA. And there are folks, the media is just not covering it. There are folks, good conservative folks, that are working really hard to try to bring this in line. And people like this example that you're sharing with us right now is you know, people need to know that. And I'm sure you're not alone. $1,000 for a prescription. And fortunately you had, you know, insurance, but you bring up a good point. What about those that don't? Okay. We lost Carol. You're listening to Washington Watch. Give us a call. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Let's see here. Let's go to Ken in Maryland. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Russ. Hey, this is Ken. Yep. Hey, I wanted to thank you for putting that clip on there from Tom Courtney down there in Tennessee. I had heard about it, but I didn't hear much detail. So it was nice to hear a little bit more. I'm really sorry to hear that he went through so much trouble just doing something that is normal and fine. Yeah. And, you know, under any other circumstances wouldn't be an issue. But here's what the crux of my comment is. In listening to your conversation for him, I felt like it would really be important to identify. I mean, everybody knows who's doing the violence and who's making the attacks. It's coming from the left. It's coming from Democrats. I even see it around here, not as much as some of the stories that I've heard in other places around the country. But it's not, there's no shame in saying who's doing this. I think it needs to be pointed out and be made clear. And the reason for that would be that not to shame anybody or put them down, but to keep it clear in our minds who we do not want to vote for in this upcoming election. And it's really important. I know they're trying to intimidate people, especially getting closer to election time, either to vote or not, or who to vote for. But it's important to vote. I know you believe that, and I know a number of people there on AFR and at Family Research Council believe that too. And we need to keep Republicans in office, get more in office, to support Donald Trump and his programs, and in spite of what's going on around the country, we need to stand strong. That's all I have to say. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Ken, God bless you in Maryland, and appreciate your good thoughts there. You have a great weekend. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Thanks. I'm doing well. Thanks for all you do. And I just echo your last call. It took a lot of my talking points. But, yeah, the last 2 months should have served as a wake-up call to the Christian conservatives and the evangelicals to get out and vote. I mean, this country can slip away just as fast as we've turned it around the last 2 years. We've got to get out and vote. I mean, there's just too much at stake. You know, the Christian conservative values, whether it's, you know, whatever motivates you to vote, you know, the pro-life, you know, the pro-guns, you know, like you said, just like the lady on the health care. I mean, if you want higher taxes, stay at home, don't vote. If you want higher health care costs, stay at home, don't vote. If you want more of this liberal socialist agenda, stay home and don't vote, and it'll happen. the Democrats are as motivated as I've seen them since 2007 and 2008. And it's they've got a liberal socialist agenda they're trying to push. And the only thing that, you know, it's just quote the, you know, the scripture. Now, the, you know, the only thing that prevents evil from triumphing is when, you know, if good people do nothing, then evil will triumph. So we've got to we've got to get out and vote. I mean, there shouldn't even be a question. Oh, and the, my main point, too, is many of the states got early voting. We get less than 3 weeks. Get out and vote early. That way, if there is a tornado, a snowstorm, a flood, a car doesn't start, you've already got your vote in the box. So get out and vote early. Take advantage of the early voting. And you got less than three weeks left to make a difference. God bless you and your ministry.
God bless you, too, Joe, in Ohio. Very good thoughts. And President Trump tweeted this video out recently here, and it is so spot on. Let's listen again.
The Democrats don't like being called an angry mob, but really, that's what they've become. They've gone so far left, they can't even believe that they're over there. They don't know what's going on. When you listen to Eric Holder talking about kicking,
when they go low, we kick.
Or Hillary Clinton saying what she said, which was so horrible.
You cannot be civil.
They just don't see it. Maxine Waters constantly, day in and day out, ranting and raving.
You push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome.
They're losing it, and they shouldn't be. We should be a unified country. It'll happen someday.
Yeah, it'll happen someday. And I know many of you are praying for that, that unity. While we may not always be able to agree on the issues, what happened to the day when we could just stand in civility and agree to disagree? And as Carol mentioned earlier about working with several younger folks, and you just can't say much. You can't say anything for fear of offending. And that's just not, that's not a great way to live. It's a difficult place to be. And I'm not sure that's healthy. Wow. How did that come about? How did we get into this place where we just can't talk about issues where we may not agree? Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Lisa in Wet, Texas. Hi, Lisa.
Yes, very wet here. Hi, Russ. Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, Shabbat Shalom. How are you?
Oh, doing well, trying to stay dry. I just, my point is, aren't these people that are, you know, doing these horrible things to Mr. Courtney and his employees the same ones who are want to force bakers and florists to serve anyone no matter what? And so, I mean, the hypocrisy here, which is it? If he would have refused service to someone, would they have then forced a lawsuit on him?
Well, I think we know how that might have gone down if he would have been cheered on by the left, wouldn't he, for rejecting to host a GOP event. But,
yeah.
But as we heard Tom talk about, he would host a group for Democrats or Republicans. He's a business guy. He's a business guy.
Exactly.
He has groups that rent his facility every day of the week, every week. Some of these groups rent every week. So, Lisa, you're right. It
it's
is
like,
coming
from the
left.
Which way do you want it? way do you want it, you know?
And it is coming from the left, and the right's not perfect. The right's made some mistakes and hiccups, but I've heard a lot of people say, "Oh, the right conservatives just play too fairly, and not mean enough." But I don't know, Lisa. Do you think President Trump has kind of given a backbone to conservatives, given a voice? And I know there's a lot of folks don't like his language, don't like sometimes how he is. Mm-hmm. But I do think that I'm not sure another Republican could have won this presidential election, given the environment and the atmosphere we're in right now. And God does raise up people for certain times and seasons of life. What say you?
Exactly. Well, one thing I heard, I believe it was on today's issues on AFR, someone said that Trump is like the bully who bullies the bully. You know, he's the one who's standing up for the little guys. And that is, I think, why he became so popular. And I agree. I mean, the environment of 8 years of Obama and that environment is what created Trump. You know, Trump didn't create himself. I mean, it was because of all the oppression of conservatives and Christians and other groups that didn't fit the leftist agenda. That is what, you know, Trump stood there and, you know, defended these people who have been beaten down for 8 years.
Yeah. And now we're seeing exactly, you know, how that's going over, and it's not going over too well with the left. Hey, Lisa, thanks so much. Got to go real quick here. Let's go to Rita in Tennessee. Let's go to Rita in Tennessee. Hi, Rita.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. My comment, or really a question, is, do you know of any groups or any churches that have organized a fasting or a prayer chain until November the 6th, praying for this election? Because I would really like to be involved in something like that.
That's a great question, and we will find the answer. I am pretty certain the National Day of Prayer folks are praying, and I know there are certain congregations, you know, individual congregations, but we will find that answer out. I will. That's a great question. Is there a corporate prayer going on between now and the midterms? And if not,
right,
you want to lead it?
I will. I'm really concerned about the things that are happening, you know, one-sided. And if we don't do something, if Republicans don't vote, then it's, you know, going to be a disaster. Everything will be undone that President Trump has done.
Right.
And he's got the country going in the right direction. And I would like to see that continue.
Well, that's a great thought and a great call to end on Washington Watch on Friday. Rita, thank you so much, and thank you for bringing that up and just stating sometimes the obvious that we sometimes don't talk about. You have a blessed weekend, okay? Okay. Another week has gone by. And Father God, we cry out to you in the name of Jesus Yeshua. Father, be with us. Make us holy in your sight, Father God. Be with these folks who are running for office. Protect their families, these people that are under attack. And Father, we pray for a sense of civility in this time and place. Father, we raise and lift our hands to you. We cry out your holy name. We love you so very much. Forgive us, for we are so very lost. And we thank you for those who are standing strong and who are indeed praying. And Father God, we love you so very much. And thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. In these words from Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And friends, if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we will see you on Monday. God bless you, and may the Lord be with you.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.